there is that river we want to live in. That's the river of God's anointing and his presence in our lives. And wow, that's where we want to live. This is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. And I am Pastor Marcia McAllister. And today I am so glad to be joined by my buddies here, Catherine and Michelle, in the studio.
Hi, everyone out there.
Hey.
Glad to be here.
Yes, it's fun, isn't it? We're so glad they're here. Sometimes you guys are not able to be here live, and it's always fun when you are here able to be live.
Where'd they go golfing today?
Yes, they did. Between church and radio, they actually went and played some holes of golf. Yes, Bill. We do need that applause.
Oh, can I say hi to someone from Indiana, from your state?
Anything
yes, you may. Yes.
Right,
Randy and Tracy, hello.
Yes, Bill met you today on the beach, correct?
That's correct.
All right, Randy and Tracy.
I told him to listen to your show.
All right, we're glad. That's great. Fantastic. We're having a fun show today. We always do. You guys are a whole lot of fun, and this bell is right here for important reasons, right? So when we make a really important point, bam, you know, and we can accentuate that point. And we are trying to get the internet up here running, so pretty soon we'll be able to tell you that you can email during the show, and the address is pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com, and it comes straight here, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. It's a great day. Is it gorgeous outside, Catherine, or is it gorgeous?
I don't know how it could be any more perfect. It's just tennis or golf or sitting out by a lake or whatever you want to do outdoors, it is just perfect.
There's a nice little breeze. I was sitting up by the beach. I was on the beach yesterday for a little while and just worshiping God, praising God. It was really nice. And there was a nice,
perfect
cool breeze.
Weather.
Oh, it's gorgeous. Yeah. Do you like weather like this, Michelle?
I do. I like it a lot better than that cold
cold snap we had.
This is beautiful.
I don't know if that groundhog saw his shadow or not on February 2nd. I don't remember.
They said he did. Oh, he did see his shadow?
He did.
Which means?
Means that he saw his shadow.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I think it means that it's going to be a quick winter. I believe that's the...
Quick winter? Okay,
yeah.
All right. See, I don't know.
Yeah,
but whatever
either.
It is, the groundhog did his
thing. I'll look
thing.
It up on the internet.
Oh, you will? Okay. We'll find out. We just love this
so
beautiful
many more weeks of... An X number more weeks of winter if he sees
six,
his shadow.
Six, I think. Yeah.
Six,
yeah. So it could be bad news, so we don't really know. So, Catherine, we've started a new series of Beacon of Hope, and I'm excited about this. This series is going to lead us right into Easter, you know, Resurrection Day, as we call it.
Mm-hmm.
And, Palm Sunday, which is the Sunday before that. And it's just a great time of year. Don't you enjoy this time of year
I do. It's, you know, a confirmation of a lot of the things we do as far as studying studying the Word and being in the Word. And I think that at this time of year, we have so many examples and confirmation of what Jesus said, you know, it was predicted he was going to do, and he did it. And
exactly.
A lot of that we can see at this time of year. So.
Oh, and it's just celebrating his resurrection is wonderful. So we look forward to that. It's late this year. It's about the third or fourth week of April. So, we've got a while to go, a couple months actually before resurrection. Mm-hmm. So we're going to do a special series at Beacon of Hope on Wednesday nights. It starts in 2 weeks, and Pastor Jim will be teaching it. And it's all about our Jewish roots, you know, understanding. Why is that important? Catherine, you want to?
Well, I need to go to it because I know he did this, maybe a smaller version of the same thing last year.
Very small.
Yeah. And I was committed a lot of Wednesdays, so I really didn't get to do a lot of it. And I'm hoping that it's a little different this year because I'm really interested in learning more about the Jewish faith and the Jewish traditions. So,
yes,
and Jesus was Jewish, and the story is the, you know, they're the chosen people. The story is so full of their culture, and I would like to learn more about it. Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be great. So it'll start in 2 weeks on Wednesday night. And why don't you tell them briefly what goes on at Wednesday night at Beacon of Hope?
Wednesday night's our Bible study night, and it's a group that meets at 7 p.m. And we always have, you know, what it was some kind of scripture or teaching, like we're starting a new one that we do. And we really break down the Bible verses and have a lot of open discussion about it. It can lead to different directions, which is always exciting. But basically, we try to look at layers of meaning in the Bible. And, you know, every time, you know, you may know a story inside and out, but when you do it again and break it down and hear other people's opinions and what their thoughts are, maybe how they grew up and were exposed to that part of the Bible, it's really interesting. It's really exciting.
It is. Everybody really enjoys it. We try to get out of there by 8:30, and we start by prayer meeting at 6:15. So anybody's welcome to Beacon of Hope, 3700 Almerton Road in Clearwater, right beside the Golden Diamond Source. It's a good location. It's also right beside Five Guys. And Papa John's.
How is Five Guys? I've never tried
Five Guys is fine. We make sure. We check on it all the time. Yeah.
Catherine and I just checked on it today. And
actually, you just checked on it today?
Actually, it's just horrible. You don't want to ever go there, Bill. Don't do it. Well, once you do it, it's no going back. It's just... I don't know what their secret is. It's so simple. All they serve are hamburgers and fries, but they are just
it's
addicting.
Fresh. It's fresh.
So good.
Everything's really good.
What about letters to Lori?
Oh, I'll tell you about that later. Thanks. Remind me later.
Okay.
Let's listen to this great song as we begin. It's a new song. Connie's our music director for the radio show, and she's always putting new songs on. She's got new songs today. This one's called Stronger, and she says it's great, by Mandisa. Praise God. That's a good song. Mm-hmm. When those waves are threatening to take you under.
Yeah.
And then God just makes you a little stronger.
That's good. Good song.
You know, the whole goal of our Christian life is to get stronger, to get more dedicated to God, and to get closer to Him. And that's really what we're going to talk about today. And yes, God uses those waves that seem to try to take us under and those situations in our lives to bring us to a place where we realize we really need Him. Today on Living the Good Life, we are going to talk. We're back in Mark. Let's go to Mark chapter 1, and we are going to talk more about our relationship with God, with Jesus. This whole series is called It's All About You, Jesus. And leading up into Easter Sunday, we are going to really study the life of Jesus and see the things that were very important to him and what he was trying, the concepts he was trying to get through to us, you know, when he walked this earth. He had a plan, you know, and his plan came from where?
God.
God the
Father.
Father, absolutely. That's where his plan came from. And he's very clear about that. And actually, we started to go here this morning. We just never finished it up. Let's go to Psalm 40 to start today. If you have your Bible, you can keep your finger in Mark 1, but we're going to go back to Psalm 40 just a moment. And this is actually a scripture that Jesus himself quoted, because in the NIV, and I bet Catherine has her NIV.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. I don't know which verse it is. Maybe it's 8. I desire to do your will, oh my God. Because Jesus actually quotes that.
Yes, that's 8.
Okay, you want to read, actually, why don't you read in the NIV 7 through 11? You want to do that? And then we're going to read it in the message and figure it out.
Okay. There. Starting with 7. Then I said, here I am, I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I proclaim righteousness in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, as you know, O Lord. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and salvation. I do not conceal your love and your truth from the great assembly.
Well, praise God. That's really good stuff. Mm-hmm. And Jesus himself quoted this. This was written by David, a psalm of David. And David is saying this, that, you know, that's what his desire was, to do the will of God. Jesus quotes this and says, that's why I'm here, guys. I'm here to do the will of the Father, you know. And this all came from his relationship with God. And we're going to talk about that today. Catherine, relationships are really important. Let's go back to Mark chapter 1. And having read Psalm 40 and knowing that Jesus himself quoted that, saying that's his delight, his joy. The joy of Jesus was to do God's will. So I guess it bears the question, what is God's will for our lives? And what is it that we should be doing? And what was Jesus doing when he walked this earth? I mean, don't you think that's the whole thing about mm-hmm. this thing? It's all about you, Jesus. Well, it's all about Jesus. What was he doing? What was his heart? You know, what was he busy doing?
Yeah,
you know?
I think we can learn so much from that.
Oh, can't we?
It was like, you know, an example of what we should do.
Right.
Was how he was living, don't you think?
Absolutely. That's what it's all about. That's why the Father sent the Son to this earth, don't you think?
Yeah.
To show us
firsthand.
Exactly. You know, instead of just, you know, the people before Jesus came to this earth, they just had stories about God. You know, they just had stories like about David and Gideon and all the people, and they could see the result of God moving in people's lives. But I don't think they really saw the true nature of God until Jesus came,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Right.
It reminds me, and I quoted this earlier today, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten mm-hmm. son. So, I mean, how do you feel about that, Catherine, when you think about God's love for us? And do you make that personal ever? Have you really, you know, thought about how much God loves us and how that impacts your life on a daily basis?
I have. You know, I grew up in a church environment, and I've always was a believer, but I don't think I ever made it personal until probably, you know, maybe the last 10 years.
Okay.
So I know the difference. I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you can be taught, you know, repetition, and I grew up in the Catholic faith, but you can be taught, and you just take it as fact that this is what you're supposed to be doing, and this,
right.
you know, these sacraments, this is what you're doing, but it doesn't really have a personal thing deep inside you.
That's what I'm getting at.
So I think there is a difference there, and I think it takes your belief a whole other level if you can say it's about relationships and you have a personal relationship with God. It's just a whole different
level. It's a whole different level.
Yeah.
Okay, I want you, I'll come back to you in a minute on that and just how that's changed your life. Pastor Michelle, to my right. So, do you relate to what Catherine's saying, or is your experience different, or how does this relationship thing impact you?
You know, I was trying to think of an analogy, like what it was to me then versus now, and a couple of things I was thinking about is, you know, when you're learning about history and George Washington, and you know what he did, you know what he was known for in history, and the dude is dead.
Right.
So you can never have a relationship with that guy. You can just admire and respect him.
Oh, that's good. That's good. While the dude is dead. Yes.
Great t-shirt that look.
Yeah, the dude is dead. Good, Bill. Yeah.
That's right. But right. Whereas our father, we've learned the history with him.
Yes.
And the word is alive as he is as well. And then I started thinking, well, what? You know, we need something else to kind of
connect. The dude is alive.
The dude is alive.
Yes, he is.
However, you know, building that relationship right. with him, it's more like, you know, you have this great aunt that lives in, I don't know, Fargo, North Dakota.
Ooh, that's sad.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you know she's there, and,
right.
and there's the relationship because there's blood there.
Okay.
And then you go and visit her once, and you're like, oh, hey, she's pretty neat. So I want to build a relationship with her more and more, so you go to visit her more and more. And then you're like, hey, come live in Florida because it's beautiful and sunny on February 20th. It's 82 degrees out, you know, and then you build your relationship. And that's how I think of our father is once you realize that he actually does exist.
Yes.
You're like, it's that long lost aunt or uncle or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And as you build the relationship, you get closer and closer and closer. And you want to be with him more and more and more.
Ooh, good stuff. So let's mm-hmm. go to Mark chapter 1 and start here where we left off last Sunday on the show. Verse 40, the leper that comes to Jesus. And we talked about him a little bit this morning. And he came to Jesus and he needed a miracle. And it's interesting to me that the leper does not say, I'm not sure you're able to do this, but if you were able, do you want to? It doesn't say anything like that,
mm-hmm.
does it?
No.
I mean, something is presupposed here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's already a given. Let's put it that way. It's a given here from my geometry days. It's a given here in the leper's mind that Jesus was able to.
Right,
Catherine?
Yeah, it's understood.
It's understood.
I've thought about this a lot since we reread it this morning in service.
Okay.
And I think it's interesting that the point here that in Mark that really is to be made is the whole thing about being willing.
Yes.
Now, to me, you know, going back and studying the Bible, I found it kind of foolish that he's saying, if you're willing. Because to me, I would have always thought Jesus was willing to heal anyone. So asking him if you're willing, to me, sounds real odd. And so because it hit me so as such an odd thing, you know, when I take it for granted that Jesus would always be willing to heal someone.
Okay.
I'm thinking, well, it's there for a reason.
Right.
That must be nailing home something,
mm-hmm.
you know, the fact that here this leper's asking if you're willing.
Okay. All right. I want to throw something in there because I grew up in a church with my dad, a pastor, but a church that was not a church where people would come up for prayer for healing. It was an evangelical church, but they did not. I never saw my dad lay hands on anybody for healing,
mm-hmm.
you know, when I was growing up little. People got saved at the end of the service, but it was not, you know, you wouldn't come to church sick so you could get well.
Okay.
You know, that didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I think a lot of people are there because I also remember people standing up and giving what they called a testimony where they would say, well, you know, so-and-so and my family's got cancer, but, you know, God's going to just get glory out of that. And, you know, just supposing that the inference was as I grew up that the God put diseases on people. Okay. And so I think a lot of people, maybe a lot of people that are listening today, have grown up in situations where it was not a given that God wanted to heal them. Because some people have had the premise that God is out to punish us with sickness. Okay. That's a tool
I have a hard
he uses.
Time. Yeah. Yeah. I don't come from that background. So
right.
to me, yeah. But I see what you mean. If there are, you know, religions that feel that way, then this is making a point against that, wouldn't you
yeah,
say?
Absolutely. Yeah. Because the leper says, if you want to, you know.
Yeah.
Because it's not like he didn't say if you can or if you're able. You know, that was like a given to him.
Yeah.
That God, yeah, Jesus was able. Go ahead, Pastor Michelle.
Right. And it's speaking directly on what Catherine was talking about in terms of if you're willing. He knew that it was Jesus was capable of doing that.
Right.
However, in his church, he wasn't even allowed to go to church.
Right.
He wasn't even allowed within
that's
a certain
right.
vicinity.
Good point.
So that's why I think in his own human thinking, that's why he was asking, if you're willing, I'm not even allowed to be here.
That's right.
Because that's what the religious leaders
were
telling
him. He had to be so many yards back, he couldn't approach Jesus, and yet he did approach him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's another point.
That's a good point.
Do you think maybe saying, if you are willing, you can make me clean, do you think that a part of it might be that maybe this leper thought there was a purpose for him to not be clean, to stay a leper? There was going to be some kind of purpose in...
Well, I don't know, because if you go down, let's go on. Let's all look at verse 41.
And real quick, while
go
we're
ahead.
Going there, is, yeah, I think he was of that mind saying, well, I'm obviously suffering for a reason. You know, God
maybe
made
God
me this
wants
way
me to be a leper.
Unfortunately, that's what he was thinking.
Yeah.
Because look at all the Sadducees and the Pharisees and all the other C's, how they looked upon him. Again, unfortunately, because the biggest thing that I think has been missed through the years, centuries, and everything else is that he is our Father.
Amen.
Would our Father want us
to be sick?
There you go. Yeah. That's huge. Yes.
Want us to have these terrible, I don't know, people nowadays don't understand leprosy, but, you know, training as a microbiologist, I've seen many pictures of leprosy. And
really?
It is just
hideous,
you know,
isn't it?
It's hideous. It's big, huge, open, welting sores all over your skin. I mean, it looks like you'd rather die than have to live with that.
It's
terrible.
Would it have been contagious then?
Yes, it would, and that's why they had what they called colonies.
Leper colonies.
To put them in caves and keep them away from everybody else because it was so contagious.
Okay, good point. So look at verse 41. Deeply moved, okay, this got to Jesus in Mark 1:41. Jesus was filled with compassion. He put out his hand and touched him. Now, again, going back to your point, Catherine, this would have been not kosher.
Unheard
you couldn't
of.
Do
yeah,
this.
No,
you couldn't
because it was
touch
contagious.
Him.
Yeah,
right. And he touched him, and he said, "I want to be clean." Then and there, the leprosy was gone. His skin smooth and healthy.
Amen.
Oh my!
Miracle.
Woo! A miracle.
Yeah.
I want to be clean.
Yeah.
And he touched him, you know? And I think this speaks volumes for listeners out there that are going through things where you think, oh, God just doesn't even want to talk to me because I am really unclean, quote unquote. You know, I'm involved in this. I'm involved in that. Mm-hmm. I've got this sin in my life.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and you know
it's got not God's will for us to be under any kind of physical pain, emotional pain, financial pain. That's not God's will
not
for
God's
us
will.
To be under that.
No,
and you know, I thought something to think about here too is how Jesus was so moved. In my version, it's a spirit. Application study Bible.
Okay.
So I have to look at it. And it amplifies things, but it says here, moved with compassion.
Yes.
And, you know, I start thinking, I'm like, why do you think Jesus was so moved by compassion? And don't you think it's because all these other people are sitting there listening and, you know, hey, whatever, I'm just here listening. But this guy went boldly. You said that even before.
Yes.
I mean, this guy has some kahunas because he's not, he's going into a place is
right. He shouldn't have been
packed.
There.
And, you know, he could be killed even for
right.
that.
He should not have been going approaching Jesus
and
like
don't
that.
You think that, you know, that he believed so strongly. And it kind of probably encouraged Jesus, because look at everything that he's seen so far.
Right.
You know, everything that he had done, there was an obstacle.
Right.
And doubters and,
right.
and people who was ready to turn their thoughts on him and all that sort of thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, I just thought that was interesting that Jesus is so moved. So why do I say this to you guys is imagine how moved our Father would be if you reached out to him so boldly.
Woo! Amen.
And especially with all your feelings of uncleanliness.
There you go. All right. We got it. That's a good point.
You know, and it's...
Reaching out. And that's what this leper did. The leper, instead of being totally enveloped in his disease
yeah.
and his ostracizing or ostracization mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. is that a word? Whatever that was. It has to do with ostriches. I don't know. Anyway, instead of being totally consumed by being the outcast, let's say it that way. Instead, he recognized, whoa, there's my healing right there. I'm going after it.
Yeah.
I'm going after it.
Yeah, he took action.
Okay, and it was...
He sought out Jesus.
Jesus
didn't come to him. He went to Jesus.
And he formed a relationship with him because he said, because that's the theme today we're talking about, he boldly went to Jesus. He made the step and went to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
James 4:7 says, submit to God and flee from the devil will flee from you. But it also says, the next verse, 8 says, draw close to God and he will draw close to you. Okay. So it says, really, we're the ones that do the drawing close. And mm-hmm. then here comes Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So look, this is what the leper did. The leper went to Jesus and said, if you want to, you can cleanse me. And he says, I am willing. Sure. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Sure. Just so easy.
Yeah.
It's just like a little toddler that comes to you and says, come on, pick me up, you know, and they put their hands out to you, you know, to be picked up.
Yeah.
And you go, nah, I don't want to hold you. You know, mm-hmm. no.
Yeah.
What is our normal right, human yeah. reaction
yeah.
we do is we want to pick that baby
right.
up, you know,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
just like Jesus did. Okay, so we know this happened and he was instantly healed. So let's go to chapter 2 and let's look at verse 1. And after a few days, Jesus returned to Capernaum, and word got around that he was back home. A crowd gathered, and they were jamming the entrance so no one could get in or out, and he was teaching the word. Imagine that. They were coming to hear the word. Ooh, that's what it's all about. Oh, for the days, then they're coming, where more and more people just have to hear the word.
Mm-hmm.
They just need the word that much that they will, you know, come in. Even if it's crowded, they'll come in to hear the word. And that's
right.
what was going on here.
They're hungry for it.
They're hungry for it.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. So, Pastor Michelle, go on with that. Tell us what happened here. He was teaching the word. We've got that. We've got the stage set for that. Chapter 2, we're in about verse 2, 3.
Oh, it is 2. Okay, that's what I
yeah.
was
looking 2, 2,
for.
Something like that.
Yeah, this is a good one. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room, even outside the door. While he was preaching God's word to them, 4 men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him in to Jesus because of the crowd. So let me give a little, I read some little commentary
Please,
on
yeah,
this, too.
Please, yeah, talk about it,
it's
yeah.
because people think, oh, how do they get to the roofs? And the roof was usually made out of, like, mud and
uh-huh.
straw and stuff like that. And they usually had a stairwell on the side of the house
right.
that you could get to the roof. And the roof was flat.
Okay.
So these 4 guys
That's
go
convenient.
Up there.
That's better than a nice, you know, soapy roof.
Yeah,
bad pitch.
With a real good pitch. So,
yeah.
So they all, I mean, you just got to imagine this. First of all, here's 4 guys with a paraplegic, so he can't move. They're carrying him up this stairwell along
right.
the side of the roof.
Golly.
And then they're, you know, trying to set themselves on this roof, and they dig through the mud and the straw. I mean, this is no easy task.
That's no easy task because I grew up in Central America, and our house that we lived in had a tile roof. But the Bible school where my dad taught, right there on the mission grounds, the roofs were that. They were the mud and the straw. Those things were hard as rock because the sun baked it.
Yeah.
And it just became like, it just became like the wall.
Like concrete.
Yeah.
This
was no easy task.
Yeah. And that's why I thought it was interesting. And then I thought a little bit more, this is just my own commentary here. I'm thinking, you know, that whole crowd inside there must have been so mesmerized with Jesus that they didn't even see any of this going on. Because you think about it, you got to get a hole at least, what, maybe 3-4 by 4, 4 foot by 4 foot kind of thing, at least to get this dude.
Right.
And
because
then you
got to
get the rope.
They lowered him on a mat, so it had to have been a big square they cut out.
I mean, probably,
little things were dropping and stuff, and nobody saw this happening.
Exactly. So they've got to be completely mesmerized by the speaker.
Yeah.
And
it was Jesus.
Jesus, exactly. And then you have these four guys. I think these guys, it's not just one person that came with such a strong... Everybody, you know, can you imagine these friends saying, hey, man, let's do this. You know,
do
you ever have
it.
Those friends? You
yes.
Know, they say, hey, man, this sounds really cool. Come join me.
Here we go.
Yeah. And they're like, no, really, this is what we'll do. And they plan it all out. I mean, what a huge... Talk about going boldly to the Lord.
Yeah.
Boldly
They would
in
have never
belief.
Gone through all that effort if they weren't convinced.
I mean, they
if
had
they
had
could
had
only
rope.
Get the guy down there, he would be healed.
That is a really
and
good
that was
point.
It.
Yeah. Boing, boing. Good point, Catherine.
I don't think they even thought if, well, okay, this is what we got to do.
Yes. They knew that they got him there. Yeah.
Exactly. So here they are, because, you know,
they didn't have an exit strategy, did they?
No, I really don't think they did. They just knew dude man was going to be healed. And whatever we had to do is what we had to do, because think of it. You know, now you're thinking you got to lug all that rope.
Uh-huh.
And you know, and this is what the reason
Isn't
why I'm
cool?
going in such mm-hmm. detail is because this
it's
is talking
detail.
About the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
the relationship with Jesus,
yes.
the relationship with your fellow
yes.
Christians.
Yes.
And you know, that relationship with them, that they went through this, you know, they didn't just say, stand there, oh, we can't get in. Hey, let's climb the roof. No, they got a mat. They have like
They came prepared.
Rolls of rope they had
yes.
to have for all four of them. I mean, how do you anchor yourself down? You know, and then they're probably in four corners of this hole.
Yeah.
And here comes Dude Man.
Yes, he does.
And, you know, and that's the cool thing. I mean, you know, when you think about it, I think of Jesus, he's like looking at him going, how could I possibly not? Do anything.
That's exactly
for you.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you come so boldly, and you know, that's going to make you him smile ear to ear, going, that's what I'm talking about.
That's what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And you don't see them saying, well, now if this doesn't work, then here's how we're going to bring you back out of there. You
right.
know, I mean, they did this believing.
Yeah.
This is faith.
Yeah.
You know, faith is, you know, we have that t-shirt at Beacon of Hope that says, I've got one. Faith is acting like God told you the truth.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know? And that's what this, in the Message Bible, it says, they lowered the paraplegic on his stretcher. Next sentence is these first four words. I love them. Impressed by their bold belief, Jesus said to the paraplegic, son, forgive your sins.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Impressed by their bold belief. You keep using that word bold. This is bold.
Yeah.
And it's got to be encouraging for Jesus to be seeing that. Because we got to remember, he still came down as a man.
Mm-hmm.
And even while he was getting whipped and stuff, he had the doubts and he wavered as a man. And seeing this, I believe, renewed his faith as well.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And, you know, this is what I'm doing here. And
it reminded him, okay, I'm here for a reason.
Yeah,
oh,
that's yeah.
what I'm
here's
here what
for.
I'm doing next. I'm
right.
healing this paraplegic.
It was encouraging to him, I think. And I have a note
yeah,
on that.
Yeah, go ahead.
And it's really good. It says, Jesus saw their faith.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus recognized that the bold action of the paralyzed man and his friends gave evidence of faith.
Woo. And that's what God loves. James chapter 2 is talking about, is faith faith if there's no action that follows it? You know?
I remember that, yeah.
You know, faith without works is dead. You know, if we don't step out, for instance, with the end of a service at Beacon of Hope, we'll say, any of you sick, you need prayer, get up here. Mm-hmm. Now, if somebody is really, really ill and they stay in their chair,
they don't really believe that they're going to, their actions, even though they're saying, I believe in healing.
Right.
Healing, praying over someone to heal. They say they believe that.
Right.
But yet they're ill and they don't go up there. Their actions aren't really showing that they believe that.
Exactly.
You know, just like a relationship where the let's say a girlfriend-boyfriend relationship and the girl's saying, I trust you, I know you wouldn't cheat on me.
Right.
Yet she's reading all his emails and his texts and getting a private investigator to follow him around. Well,
right.
Those actions are not showing that you believe he's not cheating on you. So, you know, actions are important.
Actions speak louder than words. Yeah, I mean, have we heard that all our lives?
Amen.
Yeah. And here Jesus is impressed by their bold belief. And it doesn't say by their bold action. It says their belief, because it was their belief that caused the action.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then I just have to go ahead.
That was evidence of their faith.
Right. It was. It was evidence of their faith. Go ahead.
And then you have the religious leaders there.
Oh, yeah. Look at what they did. They went.
That
they went
kills me. And this is
bonkers.
This is going to show you, okay, what
bonkers.
To do, what not to do. Mm-hmm. Because here you have these religious leaders, and I'm doing air quotes here.
Air quotes.
Who in their opinion, I'm sure, have, you know, they probably have the front pew in front of the Lord once the kingdom comes. And
in their opinion.
In their opinion, like I said. And they say, and here they are. Okay, these people just dropped a paralyzed man who was healed. They don't even acknowledge that. They say, what is he teaching? It's blasphemy.
Yeah, they're all upset.
Forgiving sins? It's like, did you guys not just see what happened?
Right.
And you know, that the not to do is that if you had a relationship with our Father, that wouldn't even have crossed your mind.
No, it wouldn't even have mattered if he's sitting there saying, I forgive your sins. Because it's like he says that first just to get them all riled up. Mm-hmm.
Why do you think he said that?
To point out that he's exposing himself.
Your sins are forgiven.
Mm-hmm. I think he exposed himself as the Son of God right there.
Or do you think that that man had something to be forgiven?
Very well could be. Who knows? Probably did. You know, and you know, because sometimes our own evil actions get us into a lot of trouble and even cause serious sicknesses. I was talking to somebody the other day. Actually, it was Wednesday night Bible study. We were talking about the connection between cancer and bitterness, because research has shown that there really is a connection there. Yeah. Because I taught Wednesday night on the heart and how important the heart is. You know, what's really going on the inside of us, it affects our body. You know that microbiologist,
right.
You know, I mean, our bodies are affected physically by, you know, do we have a lot of resentment? Do we have bitterness? Do we have unkind thoughts? You want to amplify on that?
That's true. Because if you have all this junk, let's just call it junk, bitterness, hatred, jealousy, whatever it is raging in you, it's going to manifest itself at some point physically.
Yes.
And I did read something here on that forgiveness part. It said Jesus first met the man's deepest need, forgiveness.
Amen.
By his action here, Jesus may have deliberately evoked memory of a psalm, quoted a psalm, evoked memory of a psalm.
Yeah.
But anyway, so maybe it's implying that Jesus knew this man's real issue was forgiveness.
Yes.
For something, and that the physical was second. Paralysis was secondary to that.
And I honestly, you know, Beacon of Hope, one of the things, and our slogan is, where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. We have seen through the years at Beacon of Hope and at the church I pastored in Indiana for all those years, that physical problems do result from wounds and emotional junk and roots of things on the inside of us emotionally that are not dealt with. And it eventually turns into a lot of physical issues. So there may have been something that caused this paralysis. You know, we don't know.
Right.
We don't have any idea about that.
Yeah.
But I think it's also interesting that Jesus brings up the thing about forgiveness of sins, because he knows they're going to be all bent out of shape when he says your sins are forgiven.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, don't you think? I mean, this was intentional.
I know.
Everything he did is intentional.
Yeah.
You know?
It had to be. And, you know, I was reading some of the about the disciples and things like that, but things had to happen in order for the resurrection to occur.
Right.
And I think that's one of them. And he did. He not only did it, you know, saying, hey, to say, reveal the fact that he's the man of the Son of God, but I think he also did it to expose it. The religious leaders to cause this and say, okay, what's really going on here? Is it important to love your father or to follow these rules?
Exactly.
Yeah, but I do think that the man probably needed his sins forgiven.
Absolutely.
Oh, I totally agree with that.
And I think that he knew the man's faith because he boldly made that effort, come down through the roof. He boldly made that effort, and so Jesus was going to give him what he needed, irregardless of what these other religious leaders thought.
I agree.
He wasn't going to sacrifice telling that man what he needed to be healed at the expense of just because of the fallout, which there was a lot of fallout.
Yeah.
I think that.
No, and I totally agree with that. What I'm saying is I think there were secondary
purposes
to it.
And one of the results of this miracle, and we'll talk more about it after this song, is that you know this guy not only walked, he got up and walked off his mat and all of that, and walked away, but he walked away in peace because, number one, his sins were forgiven, and number two, this liability in his life of being paralyzed was healed. Connie's got Kanan's new song, and a Kanan band has been on the show different times. They're good friends of ours, Melanie Wilkinson and James and David and the other guys. Here's a new song by them, Help Me Find Peace.
All my given deeds when I gave in to my selfish needs. Help me find peace. How can I hear you when my ears are filled with earthly things? How can I see you when
good song. That's a great song. Wow. New song by Canaan Band. And you can go to their website, CanaanBand.com, I believe it is.
Got a Jimmy Buffett feel.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Margarita Land.
That's true. Yeah.
It really does. All right. You are listening to Living the Good Life. We are talking today about our series. It's all about Jesus. And we are in the book of Mark, and we are kind of finishing up this little story in Mark chapter 2, in the first part of chapter 2, about the paraplegic, the man that was lowered through the roof in front of Jesus. And Jesus did not chastise him, did he, Catherine?
No, he didn't. He rewarded him.
He rewarded him. He did not say, guys,
he went boldly.
You guys have messed up the roof.
You know what? I like how she said that.
I hope it doesn't rain right now.
Right.
I like that she just said that. He rewarded him.
Yes.
You know, that's really, think of it that way. You know, that's.
Hebrews 11:6 says that God rewards those who diligently seek him.
Okay? I like that.
And that's what
it's
about.
That guy was seeking him.
Hebrew what?
Hebrews 11:6. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that's what it's all about. And that's what this guy shows, is that faith, you know, that diligent seeking and saying, hey, I'm going to get my healing. And would that we would have a generation of people raised up that are saying, hey, I'm going after my healing. You know, I'm sick, or I've got emotional problems, or I've got bipolar disease, or I've got this, or I've got that, and whatever it is. I'm not saying I have all that. I'm saying I don't. But I'm just saying those that are beat down by all kinds of diseases and emotional hang-ups and problems, maybe some addictions like gambling.
Wow, that's
or, you know, sex addictions or all kinds of things. People, there's a lot of addictions out there, not just drugs and alcohol.
Relationships. In
relationship addictions.
Codependency, that's
right.
An addiction in itself. And
would the people out there would say, hey, you know what? It's time for me to be free. That's what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
Time to be free.
You know, I think this is my feeling, too, is, and I'm sure many people listening out there feel the same way. It's, you know, you can get all jacked up listening to the radio show and hearing it and oh, yeah, I can go do it. It's like going to a success seminar.
Right.
Yeah, I'm going to get rich. You know what I mean? You go to the Sunday church service and you're like, whoo, I am pumped. I am jazzed. Same with a Wednesday night Bible study, or if you go online and all that stuff. But then the show ends.
Life happens.
And the service, right, and the service ends.
The bill, you know, comes that you can't pay.
Exactly. So, you know, and I think that is what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
It's past this. After you turn off the power to the computer.
Right.
When you turn the key to your car.
Right.
After a service. What happens then?
Yes.
And that's what we need to start getting.
Woo!
Too.
Because that's where you either have action or inaction.
And that's why I'm saying it. I'm feeling it. I'm feeling the anointing on this word right now. This is the spirit speaking, because it is so easy to do and to listen and to get jazzed up, but then it's kind of like, you know,
then you go back to your old routines, which you've done.
You're an electric car.
Yeah.
You need to plug back in. And how do we plug back in? And you cannot plug in unless you have a relationship. And I go
there
back
you
to
go.
That long
That's
lost.
It. Yeah. Right there.
That gets
That's
a bell.
It is.
That's it.
Yeah. And you have to go back to that, the analogy of that long lost aunt or that great aunt that you knew when you were five, and you're like, hey, where is she now? You got to find God.
He has to be real to you.
It has to be real and something that you actively seek.
Yes.
Because that's going to show your faith to him.
Right.
If he sees you actively seeking it and studying it, and, you know, you're making that effort, and he's like, we know. You make the effort, and he's drawn to us.
Exactly.
So I think that's really important point.
And I think so often people get bogged down with their hang-ups and their old habits that just keep pulling them down. So they may get pumped up a little bit thinking, okay, I can do this. And then the minute they walk out from that anointing or the presence of God, the devil knows exactly how to hit us. He knows all of our weak points. Mm-hmm. And so he immediately throws a distraction, or he throws a sickness on us, or he throws a depression that hits, and where somebody calls and talks bad, evil stuff, and pretty soon we're right back down in that pit because we don't know how to stay up there. Mm-hmm. And the answer to that is what you just said. It's the relationship, you know? I mean, Jesus was human. It said here in in Mark 1, verse 35, that before dawn, when it was still night, Jesus went out to a quiet place to pray. Why? Because he needed time with his heavenly Father. The relationship. He needed that. He knew that he was, yeah, fully God's, living in a human body, fully human, fully God, but yet he needed that relationship time, you know?
Right. It is. And you know what? I like the other thing. I'm sorry, Kat.
I'm going to say, I'll remember what I was going to say. Go ahead.
It reminds me of that time when he did say, okay, I'm going to go. This is the only time I have to go pray. I think about that. And this is one of my favorite stories, too, is when he went by the well and he's like, I'm just going to touch my breath here. I am wiped out.
Right.
Oh, my God. And then the Samaritan woman comes and he's like,
John 4.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I have to minister. You know, I got to do this.
And exactly.
And that's what it's all about. You have to make yourself do it.
You have to make yourself do it.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was going to say when you brought up that he got up early morning and went to a solitary place and prayed. When you've done a study on prayer, mm-hmm. you know, it's come up again and again that it is in the Bible. Several places to seek out a quiet, solitary place.
Why is that so important, Catherine?
Well, because I learned that lesson. You're going to be very proud of me.
Okay, let's hear it.
Because I have the answer to that one.
All right.
Because that was one of my favorite studies that you did, believe it or not, because I got a lot out of that. Because I was trying to pray often, you know, at the end of the night when I can say two lines and I'm falling asleep.
Oh, exactly.
Or, you know, I'm listening to music too and there's distractions. So one, you don't want any distractions because
right.
you want to be able to meditate on what you're praying.
Right.
And two, you're not doing it in front of others to glorify yourself.
Exactly.
So
yes.
you should seek out a quiet, solitary place. It's only between you and God. It's not, you know, for the benefit of anybody else, and it's not with a lot of distractions around you, so you don't have quality prayer. So that reminded me of that when Jesus himself sought out a solitary
Isn't
place.
That cool?
He didn't want to be distracted. Yeah.
No. I think that's huge. For me, it's the Dunedin Causeway right down the road here where I like to hang out. And my little chair out there and watching the water, hearing the waves.
Yeah,
because you know,
that's not distracting. That's kind of enhancing the experience.
Me.
Yeah,
and then I'm
right.
just talking. A lot of times when I'm out there, there's not very many people around, or if I'm in my kayak and there's nobody, and I'm just talking out loud to God. I've been doing that a whole lot more. People would think that this woman has gone crazy. I'm not kidding you, because I have now become much more vocal out loud to God in conversation. You know how a lot of times when we pray, we just do it inside our hearts, you know, and we're just talking to God, and it's easy to fall asleep.
Right.
Distracted or get thinking about, you know, oh, I got to go out there and pull the weeds out of or whatever it is, you know, we get the devil does that. But when you're carrying on a conversation, and I challenge y'all to try this, when you're carrying on a conversation out loud with God, it's a little harder to get distracted by, my stomach's growling, because you're talking to God and you don't just stop what you're saying and go, oh, I think I'll go get a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
I know.
You wouldn't do that if you were talking to your, you know, your child or your husband or, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, anything. And I liked it when Connie said this too. She's like, you know, when you're talking to someone, you have that filter.
Yes.
But when you're talking out loud to yourself and to God, there's no filter there.
Right.
So it just comes out, and pardon me, you just continue with that. So we're hearing a little feedback.
Little feedback going on.
Sorry about that, guys. So maybe that was the Lord just confirming what we were saying.
Yes, that was him just giving a round of applause from heaven. Yes.
Very
right.
Good, kids. And what and goes on to what Catherine's saying is what you were saying is you don't think about your stomach growling. You don't think about the bills you have to pay. You don't think about what you're going to have when you eat and all that stuff.
You're just talking. You're talking to God.
Yeah, exactly. And I really... It's really effective.
It is effective. An effective way to pray. And don't you think that Jesus did that? It said he went, got up before dawn, went out to a secluded spot and prayed. Why do you think he went to a secluded spot? I mean, he could have laid in his little straw mat over in there in the room with all the disciples and the 150 people staying in the one little house or whatever it was.
Right. I have a good one for this one because I'm thinking, you know, when you're people that are close to their parents and they, you know, like my stepmother was very close with her mom and they used to get together. And, you know, when you're courting someone and you're building a relationship or even a husband and wife or whoever has their kids, they go to bed. When they're building their relationship with one another, do they have the radio on? Are they cooking? Invite other people in while they're building this relationship with themselves? They have that quiet time. I use my stepmother Lynn and her mom because they had a very special relationship. And her mom lived in Massachusetts, and she came down all the time to spend that special quality time with Lynn. They talked to each other on the phone all the time as well. But they would do things together alone, you know, and that's why they had such a strong relationship, is they did these things together alone. My father wasn't there. The kids weren't there. I remember more when I was living there by myself. My brothers had already... you know, whatever.
Yeah, gone.
Yeah. And so she did have that relationship, and it was a strong, strong, powerful, loving relationship with her mom. And it did. They talked on the phone all the time.
Right.
She flew down and spent time. Lynn would fly up there as well. And why am I going in such detail? Because that's what we did for an earthly mother.
Right.
You know, and that's what you have to do with our Heavenly Father.
Amen.
And the thing that I really liked about that last one from Canaan, it helped me find the peace. How can I hear you when my ears are filled with earthly things?
Yes. Wasn't that a good line?
That was a really good line.
Yes.
I loved it. And it's so true. How can you? So when you speak out loud,
yes,
when you pray out loud, and remember everybody, when we're talking about prayer, we're talking about just talking.
That's right.
It's not,
amen.
Unto us falleth and the Spirit cometh upon me. It's not that. It's like, oh my God, I am just so blessed. I told you the story, and I'm sorry, I'm just rambling here. But
that's okay. Ramble on.
When I had a pool show last weekend, and I was incredibly blessed, I won this fun little show thing, and I won $100, and I really enjoyed playing this game. I won this $100. And the whole way home, I'm like, see, you know, you amaze me, God. You know, you do these things so unexpectedly. I had so much fun playing these games.
Isn't
that
cool?
I won $100, and I'm like, you're just so cool. I mean, you bless me indeed. Oh, Lord, you bless me indeed.
Woo!
You're just so awesome. And that's all I said.
Amen.
And, you know, and I can feel the smile.
But you can feel him smiling.
Yeah.
And laughing with you cool, that's really cool.
That's exactly
You know, I love that analogy. And we're going to amplify on that as we go in, as we turn the corner at 5 o'clock. Let's do our station ID.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel. And KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
All right, and we do welcome those new stations that are part of this this station here. And all of you listening, this is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We are based in Clearwater, Florida, but we are a global ministry. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. To my right is Pastor Michelle Cardinal. And across the table is Catherine Nivens, our local microbiologist.
And treasurer.
And treasurer. Oh, that's yes, right. That's yeah. exactly right. And if people want to give, you know, we don't do a lot of that on the show, Catherine, because, you know, God has provided every single week. We always pay in advance before
yes,
the show.
He has, yeah.
We've never been late.
If Catherine's a microbiologist.
Uh-huh. She is.
Shouldn't she be in here and then she have her hands to these rubber gloves that go into the other room?
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah. Yeah, like that. Yeah,
yeah, good kind picture. Of not really.
Yeah, but you know, seriously, some people out there may want to give financially mm-hmm. to the ministry, and they can do that by going on to our website.
Right. They can do it through PayPal on our website.
Right. BeaconOfHopeMinistries.com.
Right, and they can do it if they want to specifically give to the radio ministry. They can specify mm-hmm. for that. There's a place on PayPal to say specifically what you. You know, put a note where you want the money to go, and we'd be happy to have that blessing.
Absolutely. And we have had people do that, and there are people that write in and do send money to the radio show. But this show is going out potentially worldwide because it's on the internet, and we're excited about that. Didn't used to be when we first started it. It was just local. And then that, you know, a lot of things changed, you know, over the last 4 years. So the outreach is so much better now, mm-hmm. and it's really cool. So if you want to join us as partners for Beacon of Hope Ministries, go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and go to PayPal and give an offering, a tithe, or whatever you want to do. If you don't have a place where your tithes are going, this is good ground. You may go there. To BeaconOfHopeMinistries.com and give. So we are talking today about relationships, and it's an exciting thing. And Catherine, we talked earlier about our Wednesday night Bible study, but there's a lot that happens as far as relationship building on Wednesday night, don't you think?
I do, yeah. People, since it's more informal, people feel, I think, more comfortable
yes.
talking about their own, you know, getting questions answered that are personal to them, and then you get to know a little bit more about, you know, what when that person shares, you're learning more about them, and
right.
It's just a real kind of easy, you know, you can talk as little as you want, no pressure. And I think that now we've had a group that have been pretty regular. I think that we've all come to know a little bit more about each other. So
oh,
it's
absolutely.
Nice.
Yeah. Because people open up and they say, hey, I'm struggling with that. Or,
yeah.
hey, what does that mean? You know, talk
right.
to me about how you got over that, you know, or how you learned to deal with that. So
right.
it's really cool. Wednesday nights, 7 o'clock at Beacon of Hope. And we are 3700 Almerton Road, right beside the Golden Diamond Source. And so we welcome you to join us. Sunday mornings is at 11, worship and regular service. And we had a great time today, as we always do. And it's all good. So you're looking at our website right now, aren't you?
I am, but I'm trying to say, you know, it would. It's not so easy trying to find where you want to give.
Okay.
So
you want to show them where? Can you tell that? Do that?
I'm trying to
go to our okay,
and if you, because we have a number of ways to give is oh here we go, it's under general and under donations.
Okay,
and there it's on the right side of the page under general, and then you go to donations, and then you can choose where you want to find below. I'm sorry, you choose if you want to. Go to the pastor's salary. We have books, which we want to plug, Letters to Lori. And we have the radio station, this radio ministry. We have mm-hmm. the actual building itself and that sort of thing. Or if you just want to say, I'm just going to give. There's too many decisions. You
right.
Just click
just
it
give.
And hit PayPal. And because we are a nonprofit, we don't get charged as much. And if you scroll all the way down, it has rent, storage unit, cell phone, insurance, CDs, equipment, marketing, miscellaneous, pastor salary, music department, website, because we have a full band. We have drums, organ, all that jazz, speakers, a motherboard, you know, a soundboard, and all that stuff. Website, expense, weekly radio show, worship department, because we do have a prayer team.
Yes.
As well. And if you have a prayer
tell them
request,
about that.
If you have a prayer request, you send it to prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com. And they will. It goes out to prayer warriors around the world, honestly, because we have some people overseas that are in the military and that contribute to that as well. But as far as what, Seattle or Alaska and
right.
Texas, Indiana, Massachusetts,
over.
Georgia,
yeah.
all over the place, we have those
it's
prayer
exciting.
Warriors.
Yeah,
and
we've seen so many answers to
so
prayer.
Many answers yes. to prayer.
Oh my! Just this week alone, my grandson had a biopsy and it was totally fine. Mm-hmm. And you know, they had said that cancer was a possibility, so we praise God that that's no longer a possibility.
I hope all those prayer emails are captured somewhere.
Are.
You know,
they
because
are,
it'd be really
and,
fun.
To go
over
back
a
over
year's them. Time, even to look back, because we've had so many prayers.
Alice was working on that. Pastor Jim actually has a notebook that he keeps
good.
On Wednesday night with all the requests and then the answers to prayer. So there's a lot of that going on. So
good.
Yeah, we're excited about what God's doing. He's just woo. So we invite you, send your prayer request to us at prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. And we will be more than happy to write out a prayer and get that out to our prayer team. And we got a song by Carmen. We just did this song a couple weeks ago live in our worship service. I Feel Jesus. Let's listen to Carmen's rendition. He wrote it, I believe.
Jesus in this place.
I feel Jesus.
Oh yes, I feel
Praise God. That's a great song. I did not know that Carmen wrote that. That's cool.
Isn't that beautiful? I had no idea.
I love that song. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We invite you to send an email right now during the show. You can with a question or a comment. It's right here in front of Pastor Michelle, and she will be glad to read them, and we'll comment on them. And the way that you get to us is pastor at beaconofhopeministries.com. All right. We're in the book of Mark. We're talking about Jesus. And I want to go to chapter 4. We're going to skip over a little bit. I want to go to chapter 4 to a story starting in verse 35 that we never got to this morning. I intended to talk about it at Beacon Vote, but we never got there. And it's Mark 4:35. Late that day, he said to them, this is Jesus talking, Mark 4:35, let's go across to the other side. They took him in the boat as he was. Now, I think that's interesting. They didn't go home and pack lunch or anything. They just got in the boat, and he said, let's go over there. Let's go over the other side. Other boats came along. Now, remember, he knows everything. He had to know. There's a big old storm coming up.
Yeah, note to self. Jesus knows everything.
Jesus knows everything. Note to self. All right, that's good. And the next sentence is, a huge storm came up. Now, I mean, you know, look at the sky. I mean, yeah, I admit I've had one bad episode in my kayak where there was a bad weather report, and I went out anyway. And I just thought, I'll beat it. I'll get back in time. Did not. Got caught. Got thrown into rocks 3 times. That was a story. That was an awful story. That was the only scary time I've ever had in my kayak. But I didn't. But you know what? It was my own darn fault because I saw the weather report, and I did it anyway, thinking, I'm just going out for a little while. I'll be fine. I was not fine. I ended up having to ditch my boat and walk all the way around. Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. It was a tough time. So I can imagine, because I knew I was in trouble. The rain was beating down. Yeah. I was by myself. It was dangerous. Mm-hmm. And then seriously, the wind threw me into these rocks over on Dog Beach 3 times. And I would just get out a little bit, and a big wind would come and just knock me right into the rocks again. So it was.
And you were in the kayak?
Yeah, I was in the kayak. Yeah. Until after the third time when I got out of it, started pulling it. And it was dangerous, and it was stupid. But, you know, we do things. Now, Jesus, I'm not saying he was stupid here. He's not, because always remember this. Problems produce faith. You can't grow your faith without having a problem. Because if you never had a problem, you'd never grow your faith. You'd just be going along, twiddle-dee-dee, twiddle-dee-dum, everything's fine. No worries, right? So God allows problems. And here Jesus is going, we're going to have a fun act. I can just see him down on the inside thinking, hey, guys, I got a fun activity planned for the afternoon. There's this big old storm that's coming, but I'm not going to tell you that. And we're going to go have some fun in the storm. So, Catherine, can you read 35 through 41?
Sure. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was, in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, Quiet, be still. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? They were terrified and asked each other, Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him.
Okay. And you may be saying, what does that story have to do with the relationship? Okay. Jesus is making a very, he's teaching by allowing a situation to happen where he has an opportunity to show them the relationship that he has over the events in our lives, like this big bad storm. You know, he's also wanting them to realize how important it is to turn to him when they're in the middle of a mess.
Mm-hmm.
And to make it even more fun, he's taking a nap. I love that. I love the fact that he's sleeping.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you've got to know the boat was rocking and rolling, and the water's coming over the sides, it was threatening to sink. It says waves poured into the boat, mm-hmm. and Jesus just lays there. He could have been playing possum, though, guys.
Yeah.
He could have been half asleep. You know what I'm saying? Half asleep and half awake going, yeah, pretty soon they're going to call on me. Yeah, when it gets bad enough. Uh-huh. Talk about that.
You know, I think I may have shared this story one at a time, but that relationship, when I was younger, I think I was in fifth or sixth grade, and I had an older brother, Bobby. And I remember all the time I used to go, and when I had a nightmare, I would go to his, I had an older brother, Bobby, and my brother, Michael, who's younger than him, older than me. He was the middle child. But I'd go in their room, and I'd say, Bobby, I had a really bad nightmare. And all he did was lift up his blanket and let me scoot in next to him, and then he'd close the blanket over me. And I would say, don't go to sleep before me. Now you have to stay awake. Let me go to sleep first, and don't go to sleep before me. He's like, okay, Shell. And I'm like, you're not asleep, are you? No. And he's totally asleep. But the reason why I'm saying sharing this story is because I knew I was safe in his arms.
Ooh, yes.
I knew he was not going to let. Mm-hmm. He never had to protect me from anything. He never. Had to stand in front of a speeding bullet or anything like that, or you know, put his, you know, fight for me or something like that. But I just knew, and that's kind of why I think that's an important story for with Jesus, is because you just got to know the worst nightmare. If you have Jesus, he's just going to put his arms around you, and you're going to be safe. He's going to shield you from the waves. He's going to shield you from the lightning and the thunder. He's going to protect you from all the evilness that's in the light. He's going to protect you from Satan's warfare. He's going to protect you. He's going to lift up his arm and allow you to take refuge beneath his wing.
And that is exactly right. And that's how he teaches us that he can do all that if we never have a stormy day out on the water. You know, if we never have any problems come our way, we're never going to know that God can solve them. That's a line from that song, Through It All. Yep. You know, if we never have a problem and we never know that God could solve it.
Yeah.
The biggest thing, too, is how about this? If Moses and the Jews were not fleeing,
right,
we would never have seen the miracle of the parting of the Red Sea.
That's exactly right.
We would never have seen that.
Ooh, good stuff.
We didn't go without,
right,
we wouldn't know that it just doesn't have the same impact if it's just given to you.
And that's why I think Jesus, the teacher, because he was always teaching the word, preaching, he was mm-hmm. showing the greatness of God, teaching the relationship with the Father. I think Jesus, the teacher, thought, oh, this would be a good afternoon for a storm. Let's get the guys out there. Let's just see what we're going to do here.
See about their faith here.
Yeah, what do you think, Catherine?
I think so. Because
God is so intentional. That's a point I really want to make here. The mm-hmm. intentionality of God. He is so intentional. He allows things so he can use those things as picture lessons, if you will, in our lives and teach us. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. And really, when you think about it, a normal human reaction to a storm is fear.
Oh, absolutely.
So, you know, the disciples were just doing a normal
I admit it. I was
reaction.
Afraid out there in my kayak.
Yeah.
I was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think this is a drastic example of, you know, what he said was, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?
Right.
He's calling them to task, saying, you're with me, you should have faith that you're safe, you are here with me.
Right.
But yet there's this waves crashing over and all this happening. Our normal reaction would be fear.
Yes.
You know.
And you know, I think about in boot camp.
That's right, you were in boot camp, yes.
And it's, they have a lot of opportunities to have a learning opportunity. And one of the things is
to allow you to be afraid.
Yes.
Yes.
And, but more, more to this is the importance of being attentive to detail. You have to really be, especially if you're on the ship.
Okay.
And you're in a high you know, a position where you could kill someone.
Right. You're in the Navy.
If you're not paying attention. And some of the things just were silly little things. And you would have to, they would actually make it happen, just like Jesus. They would make something happen.
Right.
And make it look like you did it wrong, even if you didn't do it wrong. Most of the times it wasn't done properly. And just as like folding your T-shirts.
Right.
You know, you have to be, and then they'd shake it out. Does this look folded to you, kind of thing? But it's showing you that you have to be attentive to that detail.
Okay.
And Jesus does the same thing. He creates a situation, so you have to depend on him.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Don't you think maybe before he woke up and he's either sound asleep or playing possum, that some of them were going, hey, whose idea was this anyway, this trip across the water today? And somebody goes, Jesus.
Yeah.
That was his idea. You know? Yeah, I mean, seriously, is it like the guy asleep there, the dude right there, sound asleep? It was his idea.
I know. Can you imagine what they're thinking? It's like, how can he sleep through this, man?
Right.
Why is he so calm?
How can he? Yeah. How can he? Because he knows he's got it under control.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And that's the place that he wants us to get with him. That our relationship is so strong, you know, that we know God's got it under control. When the devil comes to try to say to us, you're not getting out of this one, okay? Mm-hmm. This one's going to get you. Mm-hmm. You know, that day was a Saturday afternoon. Had to preach next morning. You know, the day that I had the kayak mishap by myself. And I was out there. And I really did not know how this was going to turn out. But yet, I didn't really have much choice. I began to just thank God that he had it figured out. You know, I ended up having to pull the kayak up on this other beach and walk all around and all the way up. I had to crawl under a fence. Seriously. And that was another story. That was really fun. Anyway, and I had to get all the way back to where my car was and then get help and go to the park ranger and get mm-hmm. help to go get this kayak that was core down. I got it and everything was fine. But, you know, it turned out to be quite a metaphor for me doing my own thing and thinking, it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be all right.
And that's that other thing. He can calm the most horrendous storms.
Ooh, praise God.
And bring peace into the stormiest of minds. And that's it. I mean, we've got to get to that place of just total belief.
It's his grace. Grace is unmerited favor. We don't deserve his favor, but we have it. Mm-hmm. And this next song, and then we're going to talk more on the other side of this, is Connie said she's played this song. It's a brand new song. She's played it over and over again all weekend. The singer here is Bill and Gloria Gaither's daughter, Amy. Amy Gaither Hayes. It is a new song. I don't know if it's written by Amy or not. Let's listen to it. Hidden Graces.
The other side of this decision, underneath this tender flower, just behind the next few moments, sometime in the last half hour. If you have the eyes to see them, somehow you will see them there, waiting just to be discovered. Hidden graces everywhere. Beside the woman softly humming in the letter you might send, over every promised rainbow, round the old familiar bend, like some tiny secret treasures asking you to take the dare. Find their holy golden traces, hidden graces everywhere. Hidden inside gentle whispers, hidden in the touch of hands, hidden in the cool piano and in the guitar strings, hidden in the feet of children, there in the signs of peace, hidden deep in every sorrow, hidden of summer, even in the winter snow. Hear their music while they're playing. Breathe them thankful in the air. Touch them as the days that pass you hit in grace.
Praise God. That's an excerpt from that new song.
Very nice.
Pastor Michelle's trying to find out over here if she wrote it, and we can't seem to figure that out.
No, we can't, but boy, she's got the history.
She does.
It almost sounded a little bluegrass.
Yeah, it did. I liked it. I love the feel to it.
Yeah, Bill and Gloria Gaither have written so many songs. He Touched Me Because He Lives. Yeah. You know, there are just so many that they are famous for. And they're right from our little area, Muncie, Alexandria, Indiana.
That's where they're from?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
My Nana up in Muncie, Indiana. little Toby Keith
Alexandria. Yeah. All right. You're listening to Living the Good Life today. And we're talking about relationship with Jesus. Let's go to Mark 3, and we're going to finish up this last segment with this whole thing about Jesus and his own family. Mark 3, starting with verse 31. Catherine, do you want to finish that chapter there through 35?
Sure. Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent someone in to call him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, "Your mother and brothers are outside looking for you." "Who are my mother and my brothers?" he asked. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother."
Whoa. Do you think the family might have been a little offended?
They didn't get it, yeah, probably.
I mean, yeah.
They might have felt a little slighted.
They might have felt just a slight bit slighted, because here they are, they're coming to have a word with Jesus. Now, we don't know what kind of word they were going to have here. And, you know, we know that Mary followed him to the cross,
right.
And Mary's mother was in the upper room during the day of Pentecost, and some of his brothers were involved in the ministry, and probably some of his sisters, too. But I find it very interesting that he chooses to try to include everyone in this relationship, that we're talking about relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Catherine, I mean, what do you see here in this little segment of verses?
Well, I see where this note's coming from. It says,
what's it say?
It says, when he's saying in verse 35, whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother.
Yes.
It's focusing on whoever does God's will. And the note is saying membership in God's spiritual family, evidenced by obedience to him, is more important than membership in our human families.
Ooh. That's so true, isn't it?
Wow.
But we don't see it that way, do we?
No.
From an earthly perspective.
No.
We think, blood.
Read that again.
Yeah. I think you better read that again.
Membership. It's pretty heavy.
It is heavy.
It's pretty heavy.
It is. That's right.
Membership in God's spiritual family, evidenced by obedience to him, is more important than membership in our human families.
And boy, I tell you, there's been some, what is it, the McCoys and the and the Hatfields for years that have
Romeo
been slugging it out, right, over their family.
Yeah.
That's my family, you know.
Yeah.
Yep, and, look at the Godfather.
Oh, yeah. You know, I come from one of those big families in Indiana. It was a German-Irish combination and a big... The Wagners, you know, and conglomerate.
Yeah.
And you're from an Irish Catholic family,
very
Catherine.
Large family.
Large family.
One of eight
okay.
children, and both my parents come from big Irish Catholic families.
Right.
And
like the Kennedys. Are you from the Kennedys?
I'm not from the Kennedys.
But you are,
you
Irish
know,
Catholic.
Another important Irish Catholic family.
That's exactly right. That's good.
First not Catholic as famous, president. But...
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, if we can broaden our scope a little bit, we might want to talk about, you know, our human family and really what is it, you know, on this earth. We're always taught your family is the one unconditionally that loves you.
Exactly.
That always has your back.
Yeah.
You can rely on. You know, and some of us come from families that's, you know, broken families. That may not be true.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, people would probably say if you come from a loving family, they're supportive, you know, they love you unconditionally. And that's, you know, kind of a generic human family thought. But how long does that really last?
Exactly. It's interesting because I propose that the family of God, and that's one of Bill and Gloria Gaither's songs they wrote too. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah. That old one.
Okay. The family of God is really our family of choice. Maybe not our family of origin.
Right.
Today after church, we went to Bob Evans, some of us, there were 7 or 8 of us, and the waitress came up and she said, and we were teasing each other and making fun of each other and just being silly and just silly things. And Kim and Brianne were big time into the teasing thing, you know, and there was a lot of that going on. And she looked around the table and she said, "You must all be family the way you're talking to each other." Mm-hmm. And now Nathan's brother Nathan is black, and he was sitting right beside me, and he said to me, "Does she not notice my color?" And I said, "Yes, he's our brother from another mutter." And so we were laughing about that. But after she left the table, we were saying, we are family. Cotton picking? Yes, we are.
Yeah.
You know? And so go with that. Either one of you.
I do. I have a note here, too, that I especially like, because it says, God's family is accepting and doesn't exclude anyone.
Amen.
And although Jesus cared for his mother and brothers, he also cared for all those who loved him. And that's what we were talking about. But the important thing here is, pardon me, is that no one is excluded.
Exactly.
Short people, tall people, male, female, blondes, brunettes.
Gay, straight.
Gray hair, gay, straight.
Gray hair. Did you include gray hair?
Yep, gray hair. Mothers, fathers, single parents.
I want to include Bill in there when you said the gray hair thing. Yeah.
But that's the whole thing.
Bill has gray hair.
Yeah, he does. He does.
Seems too young.
The thing is, it's going back to those religious leaders that are so focused on this law that so the more and more you learn about them, it's what was convenient for them, their laws of convenience.
Yeah, that's right.
Is that, and then Jesus comes and it's simply stated, and that's why I don't know that Mary and or Joseph was offended, because I think from the beginning, Mary at 15, she's
she
like, okay, whatever you want
me
to do.
They might have gotten it.
Yeah, that kind of thing. And it's anybody who loves me.
Right.
And it's a pretty simple philosophy here.
It's who loves me and who obeys me.
Right. And, you know, and I don't even see it as obeying, like, do what I tell you to do. It's, okay, you're making me obey you by, your command is to love you.
Right. Okay. That's hard.
And to love my brothers and sisters. That could be a little difficult, but that's the command.
Okay. It comes down to listening to God, hearing what God tells us to do, and are we going to go forward with that? And I just throw this in very quickly, that in 1958, when my dad, a successful pastor in a little church in Indiana, felt the call of God to move to Central America and become a missionary. And I've told this on the air before, so I'm going to make it very brief, that my sisters and I, we were like 10, 7, and 4 when this call came. When we actually boarded the plane, we were like 11, 8, and 5, okay? And my grandmother, my grandfather, all my dad's, he had 7, 6 brothers and sisters, they ganged up and said, all right, finally, you guys can go to Central America, but you're not taking the kids, which were us, you know, because they felt it was too barbaric and place that they didn't want us to go. All of that. And my dad said, whether you think it's okay to have that attitude or not doesn't really matter. I'm doing what God's told me to do. I'm going. I'm taking my family. They're my daughters. We're going. And I thank God for my Amen. Dad's mm-hmm. obedience. I wouldn't be sitting in this radio show right. today, and right. we wouldn't have Beacon of Hope, I'm sure, had my dad not followed God. Which tells me that when we follow God, there's others coming behind us that see our life an example.
And many that we
Amen.
Will never
Amen.
Know about.
Amen.
Yeah. I like that one.
Right. It's true.
Seriously.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's where those, I'm sure that was a stormy
situation. Oh, it was stormy. I remember it. I was only 10. And I remember the fight. I was at my grandmother's house. And, I mean, everybody was screaming and yelling, you're not going. You're not going. What do you think you are? We're your family. You're not going there.
Mm-hmm. And then
life-changing events took place through obedience.
Mm-hmm. That's it. I mean, there's nothing left to say right there, right?
Yeah.
Well, I think
I mean, it is.
What
true.
We're saying is that verse we just read is saying not so much that he was slighting his own,
right.
you know, brother and sister, but that he was making the point to those that were seated in a circle around him
right.
that they were brothers and sisters
yes.
and mothers also.
It was the inclusive thing
inclusive,
and bringing them
yeah.
into a, last night, I mean, I, at home, I was watching a movie that was on our on demand thing on the TV. Mm-hmm. And I tell you guys, if you haven't seen it, you need to see it. It's Four Colored Girls is the name of it and stars Janet Jackson. And it is powerful about black women and things they endure. And it's a Tyler Perry movie.
It looked interesting.
Oh,
yeah.
my gosh. It I sat there.
It came and went really fast,
yep.
but it looked interesting.
It's fantastic.
Tyler
I sat there
Perry's
spellbound.
Brilliant.
And just the story it tells in like five or six different women's lives and then how they all converge together and the things that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just mesmerized by the fact that whether we are blood family or not, and how this goes together right now is just incredible that I mm-hmm. watched that last night. But and so did my dogs. And but whether we're blood family or not doesn't really matter. We're family. You guys, I feel you're
yeah.
family with me.
We feel
you know?
The same way, yeah.
We're not blood relatives, you know, and, you know, at Christmas we tend to go to our blood relatives' homes and things like that.
Yeah.
But we're still
family.
Whether
we family. Want to or not.
Yes, whether
yeah.
we want to or not. Oh, yes.
But I think you hit on a good
go
point.
Ahead.
I
go
think,
ahead.
I think a common belief.
Yes.
Like you were saying, we're not any blood relationship to each other. But we
right.
have a passion and a common
yes.
belief
yes.
in God and the importance of living it, taking action, walking it, studying it.
Yes.
We have that common belief, and I think in that we can think of each other as family.
Oh, absolutely. When Deb and Alice were here a couple weeks
yeah.
ago, you know, we hadn't seen them for
yeah.
a year, maybe
nice.
15 months. And I know that when they walked into the Village Inn where Jim and Connie and I were that night waiting on them after they landed, I mean, there was tears, there was rejoicing, there was like,
yeah.
oh, it's so good to see you, you know?
Right.
And it's just that kind of a family thing that when you have that bond in Christ,
mm-hmm.
you know, there is something that happens supernatural between you that is incredible. It just really is.
Yeah.
Today at the end of the service, we had a circle, a big circle of everybody there. There was a gentleman beside me that has been there. This was his second time to be at the church. And as I was praying over him, he was amening, you know, like, yeah, you know. Mm. And it was so cool just to see that after. It's only the second time to visit
yeah.
Beacon of Hope. And there was just that bond there that I felt and I know he felt, too.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just getting into it because I honestly, I don't know what more to say because it's as simple as that. And we need to get that relationship to where you yearn for
right.
that.
Yes.
You yearn for that feeling. You need it because it's what makes you whole. And it kind of, you have Jesus and you have your, that we can pray and talk to our Father, but as our human family, not blood, but like what Jesus was saying, you can depend on them.
Yes.
In those times after you turn off the radio and once you walk out of the service, when you have those troubled times, those stormy waters, you can call the family
exactly.
in Christ.
Oh,
that,
oh, yeah, yeah.
Do you know Wednesday night when I got to church, I had so many situations Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday with our Beacon people and extended family that were going on, legal matters, physical problems, all kinds of stuff. that we start prayer meeting at 6:15, and I looked down at my watch about 10 till 7, and we were still, we got to pray for this one, for this, we got to pray for that one. I mean, the list was humongous last week, and I'm blessed to say that a lot of those things have been answered already, but that is what it's about, don't you think?
Yeah, it is. Praise God, a lot of those things are answered already.
Yes.
Yeah. But when you address them right away, when they know that, you know, I feel this way about certain people at Beacon. I know if I ask them to pray for me, that I'm not going to wonder, did they or not. I know that they're going to say, yes, I'm going to pray for you at that time of day. You know, I know they're going to do it. And that's that's comforting. You know, that's
isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
We need the family of God.
Yeah.
Let's go back real quick. Let's go back to chapter 3 and look at verse 13. Because Jesus was walking along the lake, a crowd came to him, he taught them, and he saw Levi, that's the name of my grandson, collecting taxes. And this was a bad guy, because tax gatherers were just like enemies. They worked for Rome, and people didn't like tax gatherers. I'm in Mark 3, about verse 13. And Jesus says to Levi, come along with me. And he did. And in verse 15, do you want to go on reading that to the end of 17?
Yes. This is starting at 13, yes?
Starting at 15 is fine.
Oh, okay. And after he pointed 12 men... Wait, I'm
no, you're in Mark.
It's not 3. It's not 3:15.
It's 2.
Yeah.
2:15. Oh, okay. I'm sitting here looking for it.
I'm sorry, it's 2. Mark 2:15.
I'm there quickly. Later, Levi invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors. The Sadducee says, and other disreputable sinners.
Disreputable.
Disreputable. There, and in parentheses, there were many people of this kind among Jesus' followers, by the way. But when the teachers of religious law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with tax collectors and other sinners, they asked his disciples, why does he eat with such scum?
Scum.
Scum.
Message Bible says riffraff.
Riffraff. When Jesus heard
Sinners. Okay.
When Jesus heard this, he told him, healthy people don't need a doctor, do they? Sick people do. I have come to call not those who think, I like that, think they are righteous, because he's talking to those Pharisees, right? But those who know they are sinners.
Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus, you just stepped into it there, didn't he? I love that. Jesus hung out with disreputable, reputable people. Catherine?
Those who are self-righteous do not realize their need for salvation.
That's exactly right. When we realize that we need Jesus and we need a Savior, changes our life.
Right.
Let's talk about that after this song by Down Here, Calmer of the Storm.
When everything is wrong, the day has passed and nothing's done. When the whole world seems against me. When I'm rolling in my bed, there's a storm in my head. I'm afraid of sinking in despair. Teach me, Lord, to have faith in what you're bringing me. Will change my life and bring you glory. Hear me, I be in your arms eternally.
minds, I'm amazed the power of your will. 'Cause I'm a child of little faith, I feel the wind and forget your grace. And you say, peace be still. Teach me, Lord, to have faith in what you're bringing me. Will change my life and bring you glory. There on the storm, I am learning to let go of the will that I so long to control. Torment blows in the middle of the sea. May I never trust, never trust in me. 'Cause there in your arms I find no tragedy.
Praise God. That's a good song.
Another great one.
Woo! Calmer of the Storm. Connie's right. She had some winners on this show today.
Yeah, she did. Really good music today.
You know, Catherine, I think this is an incredibly important topic we're talking about today, this relationship with God and with each other and what it all means and why people don't be more involved with each other on a spiritual basis, emotional spiritual basis, and or with their relationship with Jesus, is because I think the devil gets in there and deceives us into, you don't need that, or you don't need that friendship at church, or you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't know. Just give me your thoughts.
I think that, like when we started the show with the example of the paralyzed man getting lifted down through the roof.
Right.
That he boldly went. And
like Star Wars, and believed, right?
He boldly went. And that was a affirmation of his faith.
Yes.
And I think that in what we've read today with Jesus, that was a action that showed Jesus the faith of this man. And
exactly.
That we need to, you know, speaking for believers now, we need to have our actions back up our belief.
Amen.
And I think that relationships with Jesus, with God, is only going to increase when your actions are examples of your faith.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Get out there and put your money where your mouth is, you know, and be that bold one for God. Go ahead.
Right.
What was the question?
I don't remember. How important it is, this relationship thing, you know, with God, our relationship with Jesus, and our relationship with other Christians.
Right. And it's, you know, a gazillion things come rushing to my mind, and they're all answered prayers. And that's why it's important.
Right.
To have those relationships.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
To have the relationship with God. And to have a relationship with fellow Christians, and it's a dominoes effect. Here is the all the answered prayers. It starts with the prayer,
mm-hmm.
and whether that prayer is heal me from the sickness, which mm-hmm. everybody I'm sure hears in my throat, to my emotional peace, to you know, what's happening in the world today. And then, you know, you have these answered prayers and they're miracles that are answered. And then you talk about them, you share them. And then other people have the same thing that goes on to you. And it's a pyramid.
Right.
But the dominoes effect is we need to reach out like Jesus did.
Exactly.
Jesus just went around performing miracles and teaching the word.
Teaching the word.
And, John the Baptist went before him. This is what you can expect from this dude.
Mm-hmm.
So listen to them and hear it, and then you spread 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 it, and the, and it'll be faith building, and it'll be miracle makers. It'll and it'll bring joy to so much, so many lives. And you know, I'm giving like the abridged version, and then you go to Revelation. That's the true. What's going to happen?
Right.
That's why we're doing this.
Right.
So we can all be that family of God.
Amen.
And be with each other.
And hang out in eternity.
Yeah.
You cannot get rid of me.
Exactly.
Aha.
And this is the thing. Is,
we're going to hang out together.
We are.
Exactly. And I think with Catherine and I, we get so discouraged and upset when we have friends that... we really care and love.
Right.
And we want them to know Jesus because we want to hang out with them too.
Yes, right.
And that Jesus is our salvation. Jesus is our deliverer.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And this is what it says. You know, this is an eyewitness account.
Eyewitness.
Where did we read this? Eyewitness account of what happened. And this is what can happen for us.
Yeah. And I loved what you said about...
Yeah, go ahead.
Put your money where your mouth is, because... Mm-hmm. You know, we're saying we're believers.
Right.
We're saying, you know, and people, you know, maybe go to church on Christmas and Easter, and that's all they did, like me growing up. And but Jesus wants to see our actions.
Absolutely.
And know us and wants us to have that relationship. It reminded me of a friend that Michelle and I hadn't seen in a long time last night, and we saw him at this party, and he was describing how a friend of his had been kind of out of touch, and he kept scheduling lunches. He was really looking forward to catching up with this friend. Mm-hmm. And month after month, the lunch would get canceled. And finally, last night, he said, I'm done. You know, that's it. You know, I've tried and tried. I want to know what's going on with her. I want to catch up. But something always comes up and can't make it. And it just reminded me of this conversation with him, because, you know, I wonder if God ever thinks that.
Don't you think?
Know?
I agree. Yes.
You know, I how he can have a relationship with all of us at the same time, who
Isn't
knows?
That cool?
But he does.
He does.
And if he doesn't hear anything or see you acting like you have any faith,
right,
then I think it's...
Oh, you know, it's disappointing.
It's disappointing, yeah.
Well, that's what he said to when the storm was happening on the water. He said, where's your faith, guys? Haven't you learned anything by all these miracles so far?
Yeah.
You know, you're sitting here fussing and crying. And I think he I think he played possum for a while.
Yeah.
Seriously, to see what was going to happen.
How excited would he have been if one of those disciples stood up and said, wait a minute, we have Jesus. Jesus is right here in the boat with us. We have nothing to fear. He just would have gone.
Uh-huh. There you go.
Yeah.
Or they take their authority over that storm. You know?
Oh, yeah.
You know? And so, I mean, here God is. He's saying, I want a relationship with you guys. And guys, if you don't hear anything else today, hear this. You need to talk to Jesus. Talk
Amen.
To Jesus.
Yeah.
Talk to him. Talk to him out loud. That's helping me a lot lately through some things I've been going through. Just talking out loud. I walk
Makes
around my house and
real.
I just talk to him. You know?
It's more focused.
It is.
Yeah.
And it does help with the distractions. Final words. Pastor Michelle, we'll come to you first.
Always puts me on the spot there.
I know. I know. That's my goal.
You know, I'm going to kind of steal the thunder at the end of the show. It's not far to Jesus.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. That's our theme at the end. That's right.
That's it. And when you find a friend in Jesus,
that's right.
You find a family in God.
Amen.
Of God, a family of God.
Right.
And it's that simple. Are things going to happen? Absolutely. But this is. We have to get nitty gritty here.
Yes.
You know, listen to the radio show, go into the service, or even, you know, sometimes when Catherine and I start talking and we have our own service, I do it with my dad a lot. We have our own church service, and then it's uplifting, but those times come to an end. So what do you do in between? You seek our Father.
You get in the Word.
You get in the Word, and you
Amen.
Get, and you have your other brothers, your spiritual brothers and sisters that you can lean on.
That's exactly right.
So that's it.
Pick up the phone and call somebody. If you're in trouble and you need prayer, and you can do that with us, easy.
Yeah.
Prayers at beaconoffolkministries.com.
And here's just a snapshot. And pastor, yeah. And here's the snapshot of next week's service.
Mm-hmm.
And the way, the key
Pastor
to
Michelle's
this,
preaching yeah. Sunday morning, next
See
coming
how she
Sunday
slid
morning.
That in
she
there.
Did,
very
yeah.
Sly, yeah.
Little commercial.
And this is your teaser to next okay. week's service. Find the passion and the determination, and then you'll have spiritual success.
Ooh, sounds wonderful.
What would you say, Pastor, to people that say, well, I don't have any spiritual brothers or sisters?
They need to get into the family of God.
Well, and how do I do that?
You know, seriously, you can do that by going to church. If you're not anywhere near us, you can be a part of Beacon of Hope from a distance. But really, you need to connect with some spiritual brothers and sisters. I heard from an evangelist this week that I need to get back with this coming week. But he's kind of in an isolated part of the United States, and he was wanting to communicate and start a relationship talking. And there's people here in our ministry, Beacon of Hope, that would love to respond to somebody mm-hmm. and email back and forth or talk. So it's been a great show, and it's all over. Can you believe it? Oh my gosh.
Went by quickly.
Oh, dear ones out there in Radio Land, you've been listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We are a global ministry, and we are based in Clearwater, Florida. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, we welcome you to our services Sunday morning at 11 and Wednesday night at 7. Prayer meeting on Wednesday night starts at 6:15. If you're coming from work, bring your dinner. Everybody does. Mm-hmm. We have a microwave that can heat it
right.
up and
yeah.
a nice kitchen and
a stove.
Tables to put
and a stove.
Your food on.
Yep, we set up tables, and it's a great time. So join us this Wednesday night at 7 o'clock at Beacon of Hope. We are located, easy to find, right on Almerton, 3700, right behind Burger King, and in the same plaza as Five Guys, where Michelle and Catherine ate lunch today, and Poncheros and Papa John's and a bunch of good places. You can't miss us at the corner of 38th Street and Almerton Road. So God bless you. Have a great week. And if you need somebody to talk to, you can email me personally, and I will respond to you, pastor at beaconofhopeministries.com. If you need to send a prayer request, do that anytime, day or night, 24/7, prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com. You will be responded to. A prayer will be sent out to our global prayer team, and they will pray for you. Catherine, it's been a pleasure.
Enjoyed it.
Enjoyed
Thank
it.
You.
We always
Can't
love having you
back.
On here.
Thank
yes.
you.
Yes. Michelle, did you have a good time?
Fabulous. Always
Fabulous
do.
Time. Goes by so quick. God bless you, dear listening audience. You make this possible. And God bless you. Have a great week. And enjoy the Word of God. And work on your relationship with Jesus this week. It's not far to Jesus, Engineer Bill. It's not far. God bless you. See you next week.
Safely to his side. There's no need for you to fear. You can trust him with your heart. It's not far. 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 From here to Jesus. It's not far.